retreat, I quoted a magazine title that said, "The Body, Friend, Foe, or Total Stranger." And probably we could do the same thing with thinking. Thinking, friend, foe, or total stranger. And even people who are struggling with their thinking, so they kind of know their thinking, are kind of strangers to it too, or don't really know it. Partly because we're in it so much. We're in what the thinking is saying. We're in the stories, the commentary, the judgments, often so closely identified that it's almost as if we are our thinking. And if we're really that identified with it, we don't really know it. It is possible to become friends with thinking. And if there's currently their foes, you and your thinking, that can be healed. There's no need to have inner war. And perhaps one way of beginning mindfulness of thinking is to step back just enough, get enough distance from thinking, to be amazed that you even think. And the more ferociously you think, all that energy, wow, what an engine. I mean, wow, can you, maybe the energy crisis can be solved by just plugging the grid into you. And it's helpful to have a lot of respect for the whole thinking phenomena. Sometimes meditators are so quick to think that it's wrong to think, and that, you know, you're somehow wrong or bad because of it. One way or the other, thinking has deep roots inside of us. Even the most superficial thoughts that we have, if you really stop to feel, not just look at, but feel what's going on in a deeper way, you'll find a trail to follow that will take you deep into yourself. And I often think of thinking as more a symptom of what's happening for us than anything else. It's not really what's important. What's important, especially when we meditate, is where the thinking comes out of. Energetically, arising out of this body. Perhaps arising out of or fueled by certain emotions. And the energetics and the physicality of thinking and the emotions of thinking, those are the doors to a deeper connection to yourself. Those are the doors to the healing that might be needed. Those are the doors to what's beautiful that thinking might represent. So you might, as we begin now, sit quietly in a relaxed way, and maybe for a few moments let go of all your efforts to meditate, everything you've been doing so far, it's just for a few moments, kind of cut it out. And then just notice your thinking. And experiment with stepping back, maybe kind of like you're leaning back, leaning against a nice oak tree, and glancing, looking, as the thoughts float by, as they appear. And you can get a little bit extra credit if you're amazed. Wow. And as you're kind of there with the best you can with your thinking, can you notice what is the relationship you have with thinking? What attitude or beliefs do you have that operate as you relate to thinking? Are you closely glued to your thinking? Are you inclined to believe every thought? Are you more identified with being thinking? Or can you be more identified with the one who observes thinking? Is your relationship to thinking an uncomfortable relationship? Or are you comforted by your thinking? Whether you think in words or think in images? And if you think in words, what's the tone of the inner voice? Is it more on the kind, supportive side? Or more on the harsh, critical side? What's the tone? Or if you think in images, what's the mood of those images? Is the mood heavy, more on the dark side, or is the mood more light and happy side of things? And as you think, what are the energetics of thinking? Is there any place in your body that's kind of activated with energy as you think? Or rather than energetics, it might feel like pressure, tension, vibration. Or a coagulation somewhere. a compression. There may even be sometimes a very subtle feeling of hardness at the center of the place you think. And if there is some physical expression or correlation with thinking, in the head, the forehead, the eyes, the jaws, the shoulders, the belly, almost like there's a thinking muscle, as you exhale, not only relax your body, but relax that thinking muscle. Soften around the energetics of thinking. Breathing in and then exhaling, softening the body. Breathing in, as you exhale, relaxing out towards the edges of your body, allowing the edges to be diffuse. As you exhale, relax, let go in the body, almost as if you're letting go outward so that the skin can hold you. Or outward so there is no skin. No edge between yourself and the space around you. And then breathing. Perhaps there's a gentle breathing, or a gentleness, gentle way of being with breathing. Perhaps a tender breathing, or a tender way of being with breathing. A simplicity of being, breathing. A simplicity of being with your breathing. And as you exhale, letting your thinking drift away like thought bubbles floating away in the air. Noticing how any quietness of the mind, quiet from thinking, thinking, moments without thinking, there can be a greater sensitivity, tenderness, openness to sense, feel, breathing. Not only letting go of your thoughts, letting go of your interest in thinking. Softening the underlying concern that keeps you in thinking. And if thinking arises strongly, gently, kindly turn your attention to that and observe the fact you're thinking. Maybe a gentle amazement. Or a tender respect for the depth that it represents in you. You might acknowledge it more fully by saying thinking, thinking. And then if you can let it go, and on the next exhale, let go into your body, settle in as you exhale, like dropping a flat stone into the lake. It settles down to the bottom of the lake. Maybe in a slow, graceful way, the stone. Moves through the water downward. As you exhale, let your awareness, the center of your being, settle down to a stable, still place within. And if thoughts arise for these minutes sitting here, there's no need to give them any authority. No need to believe them. No need to be involved with them. Notice the energetics of thinking in your body. And as you exhale, maybe you can soften the energetics, the pressure or tension or vibration. Maybe soften it by letting it expand outward. Letting it dissolve outwards. And when all things fail, see if you can look upon what's happening kindly, with kind eyes. And when all things are going well, look upon things kindly. May all things that occur be seen kindly. And then to bring this sitting to a close, you might take a few long, slow, deep breaths, feeling your body from the inside, feeling the contact of your body against the chair and the floor. Remembering you're here in this room. And in a moment, when you open your eyes, see if you can open your eyes and notice how you see before you recognize or conceive, name anything that's here. Let your eyes just open. So mindfulness of thinking. One of the best pieces of advice that I received around thinking in meditation is the instruction, don't be bothered by your thoughts. And that was really helpful, because being bothered by thinking is a surefire way to think more. And so the more you're bothered and you're trying to stop it, you actually go in the other direction. And I've learned to be at ease, easy with the world of thinking. But it helps to have some real understanding about your relationship to thinking. The automatic way that some of us will give our thoughts authority, or ways in which we invest a lot of importance in thinking, as if it's going to provide the solution, make us safe, give us pleasure, provide us with the things that we feel we lack, provide it in fantasy. So to start knowing how we relate to thinking, how we keep it going, how we're bothered by it or attached to it, helps a lot. So that when we are mindful of thinking, we just very simple, just recognize, oh, I'm thinking. In that recognition, there is some distance from it, some freedom from it, some just, oh, there's thinking, and here I am. It's possible to let thinking be in the background. Continues, but in the foreground with the breathing and the body. In the background, it kind of goes along quietly. You hardly know what it's saying or doing. But in the foreground, you're really with your experience. So you don't have to kind of completely quiet the mind. Also, the idea of turning thinking off and being completely silent, like you can find the button, the mute button, doesn't really work. So you can do it maybe for little brief spurts, and that can be nice to do, just like pushing the scooter, and you glide for a while. Maybe sometimes you can stop your thoughts and glide in silence for a while, and that's nice. But more realistically, what happens is that thinking becomes, over time, becomes thinner and weaker, lighter, stops being heavy or concentrated or kind of forceful or something, thick, becomes quieter and thinner and weaker and thinner and just kind of begins to fade. If you're bothered by it, then, you know, you keep it stirred up, but it just fades. And there can be wispy thoughts coming through. And then as they get wispier and quieter, it's easier to kind of not be so glued to them or concerned with them or invested in them. And it's nice to kind of, if it's happening a little bit, to kind of lean in that direction or follow the smell almost of that thinning and weakening, just kind of like, or enjoy it. Whatever little bit of weakening or thinning there, kind of that's the direction. And if thinking is, two more things I'll say about thinking. If it's just out of control, which it comes and, you know, out of control thinking comes and goes for every meditator. So it's not like a crime. It's not like you're the first person. You know, it comes and goes. It's okay. But one option you have is, since you can't stop thinking, you know, if you can't fight it, join it. So just give yourself over to thinking, but think about the meditation. Give yourself meditation instructions. Think about your breathing. Think about your posture. Just kind of like get into the thinking. Do it. You can't stop it. But have it all about the present moment here in the meditation. That sometimes is a nice little trick to kind of, and you know, maybe you don't get so settled, but it's better than the alternative. So that's one thing. The other is to kind of, a little bit paraphrase, but or to restate teachings of the Buddha around right speech that are applied to thinking. There's an acronym, THINK, THNK. The I we don't need. T, truthful. Is what I'm saying true? Is what I'm thinking, is it true? Is it fantasy? Is it wishful thinking? Is it just, you know, wrong? It's not true. Is it true? Is it helpful? H. Is what I'm thinking really helpful? Is it beneficial? Is it really going in a good direction? It's really going to help something out here. Is it helpful? The third is it necessary? Is it necessary? And some thoughts, and one question like that is it necessary now? Really? So is it necessary? And then the fourth is it kind? And just kind of, if you're really thinking out of control, going through that assessment might actually shift your relationship to it, might kind of change the inner ecology so that it's maybe not quite so out of control, or so you begin kind of reclaiming yourself. So true, helpful, necessary, and kind. And all this way of doing this mindfulness of thinking and everything, is a way of claiming our own power. It is a way of becoming strong. We give up our power and strength when we get swept away in the currents of thinking. And we're looking to become strong people here, be able to sit and sit our ground and see clearly what's going on without being swept away. So may your mindfulness help you to be deeply relaxed and powerful. Thank you.